Hello again, everybody. This is Doug Hagan. You're listening to If You're Left, You Just Ain't Right, right here on the Chimpsy Radio Network. Remember, fans, we have a great Facebook page. Remember, you can come here and chat with us during our shows. Now, this week on If You're Left, You Just Ain't Right, we've got more Obamacare waivers. We've got an offshore drilling moratorium. We've got the world's hottest chili pepper. We have, folks, we have the story of the corruptocrat of all corruptocrats, Mr. Charles Ringel. We've got Florida looking into passing an Arizona-style immigration law. We've got Obama's Deficit Commission talking about, well, death panels in Obamacare and the fact that Obamacare isn't sustainable. We've got all sorts of fun stuff to talk about this week. It'll aggravate you, it will educate you, it will illuminate you, and it starts right now. Another week of liberal nuttiness, crazy news, fun stuff to talk about, aggravating things to talk about, important issues to discuss and dissect. And you get it all right here on If You're Left, You Just Ain't Right. I am Doug Hagan. I am the driving force along with Edward Daly behind the Daily Gator blog, dailygator.wordpress.com, my podcaster at dailygator.podomatic.com, and obviously, every week right here on Chimpsy Radio Network, the world's most dangerous cyber radio show on the world's most dangerous cyber radio network. Just remember that. And to kick things off, let's talk about your cell phone and your car and the nanny state. Now, we all know all the laws that have been passed. No cell phone use in school zones, no cell phone use while driving, no you can only use hands-free cell phones while driving, blah, blah, blah. More useless laws. I wrote a column about this years ago saying, look, if we're going to get into the business, allow the government to get into the business of deciding what you can and can't do because it may distract you while you're driving, you're going to get into a whole host of things. I mean, let's say you can't use your cell phone, but you can eat a Big Mac. What about pretty girls walking by, the distraction they may cause? What about the billboard you see? What about so many things? Adjusting your radio, changing your CD, talking to a passenger in the back seat, smacking your kid upside the head because she's not behaving in the back seat. And by the way, I'm not advocating child abuse. I'm advocating good, useful corporal punishment. Sometimes it's necessary in a loving way. But let's talk about Obama's Transportation Secretary, Rayla Hood. Rayla Hood, this story's been around for a couple weeks now, about the government looking into technology that will disable your cell phone in your vehicle. And here it is from The Hill. The Transportation Department is looking into technology to disable cell phones in vehicles, according to Transportation Secretary Rayla Hood. There's a lot of technology out there that can disable phones, and we're looking in at that, LaHood said on MSNBS's Morning Joe. A number of those people came to our distracted driving meeting here in Washington, and that's one way. Well, they had a distracted driving meeting in Washington. Did they also have a distracted politician, a distracted fiscal responsibility, distracted overspending meeting, distracted nanny statism? Did they have all those meetings? LaHood seemed to suggest that this technology has a good chance of making its way into cars. I think it will be done, he said. Wireless companies see signal scrambling technology as a blunt instrument in the fight against distracted driving, pointing out that cell phones are just one distraction in the car, as I have already pointed out. Folks, this is nothing but nanny statism. That's all it is. You know what? As I've said before, when are we going to start outlawing two-story homes? Because someone may fall down the damn stairs. When are we going to outlaw radios in cars? When are we going to outlaw trees climbing? Hell, we should just outlaw everything. Make cars go only 15 miles an hour and save countless lives. Nanny statism is slowly but surely crippling every aspect of life in this country. Creeping its way into your private life, we don't need it. And here's another story of nanny statism. This one really agitates me. If I lived in Oklahoma City, I'd be especially upset. But I don't live in Oklahoma City, but still I sympathize with the people of Oklahoma City. Reason TV is a great website. It's a libertarian. Drew Carey's one of the founders of it. He's a big part of it, or at least he used to be. Lest you think all Hollywood types are flaming liberals, folks. They're not. Reason TV has a nanny of the month each month. And there's been some good ones here. But the latest one for November, you cannot make this stuff up. Nanny staters are their own cartoon characters. Via Ed Morrissey at hotair.com, Reason TV selected its nanny of the month for November, and as usual, the competition among government scolds was heated. In fact, the fires of hell plays at least indirectly into the winner of the award, Oklahoma City Mayor Mike Cornett, who refused to allow the Lingerie Football League to use public facilities for its games, forcing the exit of the franchise from the city. It's good economic news. Drive businesses out of your city, Mr. Mayor, because someone may be offended by girls playing football in lingerie. Look, if you don't want to watch girls in lingerie playing football, don't go to the games. As for some red-blooded American males, the dreaded heterosexuals, we might enjoy that type of thing. Instead, Cornett hoped to reserve those facilities for more wholesome entertainment, or so to speak. And Reason TV has this video and lists some of the things that have been allowed in Oklahoma City's public venues. Now, the mayor did add that there have been very few discussions between the city council and the Lingerie Football League, and that the league did not ask permission before making the announcement of its expansion on Tuesday. There are ways to go about these things, and they haven't chosen the right way, Cornett said. He acknowledged that there are some avenues the league could try, but that he will not allow them to play at the Cox Convention Center or Oklahoma City Arena. He added that bringing the controversial league to this area would cause unnecessary issues. The only issue here, Mr. Mayor, is nanny staters like you, who want to micromanage everyone's life. You know what? Those people who don't like it and call your office, get on the phone with him and tell them to shut the hell up, mind their own business, and don't attend the games if they don't like them. That's what more politicians should do. But among the events that have been, there have been UFC fights, very violent, very bloody, obviously. There have been professional wrestling events. There's the Oklahoma City Thunder, the NBA franchise that used to be the Seattle Supersonics, that plays there. And they have the Thunder Girls, or their dance, the Thunder Dancers, their cheerleaders. Very attractive young ladies, sometimes rather scantily clad, doing dance moves, very talented young ladies. I'm not criticizing them, but certainly there's not a huge difference in what they do and what the Lingerie Football League does. Certainly some of their attire, professional cheerleaders, could be considered lingerie. So, again, it's just this nanny statism. They want to just control every aspect of our life. They want to decide what we can watch, what we can see. They're afraid to offend anybody. you know what? Lingerie is a great thing, and I'm coming out to support lingerie-clad football players as long as they're female. I don't want to see any Pittsburgh Steelers in lingerie, for love of God. That would truly be obscene. But it'd be nice to see people like this mayor, Mayor Douchebag, what's his name? Yeah, whatever, who cares? Mayor Cornett, stop being such a damn nanny stater. Do we really need that in America, folks? Especially in a great state like Oklahoma, a very conservative state. And again, I remind you, conservatism should stand for small government, not bigotry against lingerie-clad football ladies. Now, you may call me a sexist pig for saying this, but there's something kind of appealing about lingerie-clad ladies, attractive ones, playing football. But maybe that's just me. That's just the sports fan in me, I guess. Love their competitive spirit. But let's get on past the nanny state. I could go on for years about nanny statism. I might get into the war on Christmas later, which is driving me crazy again. But let's talk about the corruptocrat to king, the king of all corruptocrats, Charles Rangel. Rantin' Raven Rangel. This guy, I think he's 80 now. He's been a congressman for New York since 1971. And he has been known to be as crooked as the day is long for a long time now. No secret, he's a corruptocrat. But over at Big Government, Rob Miller laid out some of the things that Charles Rangel has been found guilty of as a U.S. congressman, remember. Miller writes, in a vote of 333-79, the House voted yesterday to censure Charlie Rangel. And we'll get into what censure actually means here in a minute or two. It's the most serious penalty they could give him, short of expulsion, which is what they should have given. They should have kicked his fat, crooked, racist ass out of Congress. He's a disgrace. He's not fit to clean up after camels at the zoo in New York. He should have been out, period. But back to Rob Miller's writing here. Let's reiterate what Charles Rangel actually did. Then we'll discuss the horrendous penalty. To summarize briefly, we have blatant and recurring federal and state tax fraud, illegal use of four rent-controlled apartments in New York City, using his congressional letterhead to illegally solicit funds for his private foundation from lobbyists for companies he was writing tax regulations on, outrageous conflicts of interest, failure to declare over $600,000 in income, the sort of stuff that would get you or I locked up for a long time. Yeah, it would. See, we couldn't get away with this, but Charles Rangel. And those people saw he did get punished. And I'll get to what the idiots in the Congressional Black Caucus said about this here in a second. But what is censure? What does it actually mean? We know he's going to continue. He can run for re-election. But what does censure actually do? Miller explains, Rangel's penalty, he'll be required to stand in a well before his colleagues in the House while a censure resolution is read, which will then become part of the, this is where it gets really tough, kids, the congressional record. Yes, it's on his permanent record. Like that time in junior high when you flushed a cherry bomb down the toilet, part of your permanent record. Well, this is the cherry bombing Charles Rangel. That's his punishment. That's it. And he's going to stay in Congress. He's going to continue to cheat and screw his constituents. And by the way, to the constituents of Charles Rangel, he just won re-election with all these charges pending. Everyone knows he's a crook. And yet, you freaking morons continue to vote for him. What is wrong with you? How deep in the pit of eternal stupidity are you to be voting for a criminal? I mean, of course, Marion Barry, D.C. mayor, he was only caught on video smoking crack with hookers. Ugly hookers, by the way. And that should count, because if you're a powerful man, a mayor of D.C., if you're going to be with hookers, love of God, make them attractive hookers. Make it worth your while. Not even ugly hookers smoking crack with them. And he's being reelected to all sorts of positions in D.C. How stupid are his constituents? Sometimes, folks do deserve the government they get, because they're just flat out stupid. And too many people buy into the racist rants and raves of Charles Rangel, his race pimping. And they get into this, I guess the idea is that, well, he may be a crooked old bastard, but he's our crooked old bastard. He looks right. He's been the congressman for decades. Charles Rangel should have been expelled from the Congress. And this Congress, who Nancy Pelosi promised to be the most ethical ever, well, we saw how that turned out about the last, about as well as Nancy Pelosi's last facelift. But there's more to Charles Rangel. I promised I'd say what the Congressional Black Caucus said about it. And you can just imagine how hard the Congressional Black Caucus liberal cesspool it is would come down on Charles Rangel. This is their sharp condemnation of Mr. Rangel. Black leaders, by the way, this is something that should be in quotes, black leaders, because they're not leaders. They're nothing but racist and corruptocrats, frankly. The only thing they're leading is their own charge to enrich in themselves. Is enriching a word? I know what enrich is. I made one up. Poetic radio host license, damn it. Black leaders today are still standing with iconic New York Representative Charlie Rangel following his censure. Sorry, the tears are just flowing here. It's so sad. It breaks my heart, DNC strategist Donna Brazile told Reading News Review. She started her political career with Rangel and said that she still supports him. You're supporting a damned criminal, Donna Brazile. Of course, you were big for Al Gore, so you supported a complete maniac for president. Representative Barbara Lee, chairwoman of the Congressional Black Caucus, agreed. The censure sanction is a departure from the customary sanctions in other cases that have been adjudicated over the years. According to the committee's counsel, Congressman Rangel's misconduct resulted from, listen carefully, you cannot make it up. Congressman Rangel's misconduct resulted from overzealousness and sloppiness, not corruption. Good freaking grief. These people can, and I'll be accused of calling, oh, what do you mean by these people? I mean the members of the Congressional Black Caucus and liberals in general. They will excuse anything a liberal icon like Charles Rangel does. It wasn't sloppiness, it wasn't overzealousness, it was a burning desire to rip people off and make his big fat ass richer. Miss Lee, that's all it was. Charles Rangel's not a victim here. He wasn't some go-getter who just tripped over rules. He knew the rules he's breaking. He's been breaking them for years. He's a crook, and you're an idiot for supporting him. How people like Barbara Lee and Charles Rangel continue to be elected in this country is a travesty. How stupid is their constituency? And by the way, if I were to look up Barbara Lee's congressional district, you think there might be some gerrymandering involved? Gerrymandering should be done away with, period. Again, one of the things that I don't even want to get started on, it incites such rage in me that we do these gymnastical moves to ensure that a certain type of candidate gets elected. It's government-sponsored racism, frankly. That's what it is. It shouldn't exist in this country, folks. And speaking of things that are inherently racist, you know that everyone who opposes illegal immigration, keyword being illegal there, every one of us who opposes illegal immigration and wants the border secured and wants America's sovereignty upheld, because the illegal immigration battle, you can say it's about 100,000 different things. The key thing it is most about is American sovereignty. A nation that cannot or will not enforce its borders, protect its borders, and control who enters their country and under what circumstances will soon cease to be a sovereign nation. That nation will soon be overrun. That nation has turned its back on the principles of rule of law. If you have laws, that's great. If you don't enforce them, That's not great. And pretty soon those laws are nothing but toothless. No one pays attention to them. Why should they? There's no punishment there, really. You do what you want. Come into country when you want. And liberals love this. Democrats love illegal immigration because it's a new voting base for them. See, they're sure that these voters, when they become able to vote, will vote Democratic. That's what this is about, and that's why a lot of Republicans are too namby-pamby and scared to really stand up to illegal immigration, because, well, they don't want to offend anybody. And you've got the DREAM Act right now being debated in Congress. Harry Reid had four different versions of this abomination. In the Senate, folks, we have to have borders. We have to secure them. We cannot have a nation that can stand for long when we cannot enforce our borders, or will not enforce our borders. And I am tired of people saying, well, you can't just deport 12 million people. You can't just, you know what, you can go after businesses that knowingly hire illegals. You can go after the gang members. You can increase border security. You can put troops on the border. I know this because Mexico puts troops on its southern border. That's another thing that aggravates me. People will jump up and down how racist and evil the United States, how draconian the United States is, because we even have immigration laws. And yet they say nothing about Mexico's immigration policy, which is truly draconian. You immigrate illegally into Mexico, guess what? It's not a misdemeanor like it is here. It's a felony. It's a felony. Mexico takes it very seriously. And then they expect the United States to just look the other way. As I've said before, if I were the president, the Mexican president, when he came here and disrespected, I hate to use disrespected as a verb, but I will in this case, the United States over our immigration policy, you know what? He would have left this country, and he'd have left with a black eye. I would have socked that son of a bitch right in the face. You come to my country? Why don't you go back to your country and fix your problems? Mexico doesn't have to be a cesspool of corruption and poverty. Mexico could be a hell of a lot better if its stupid president would spend more time emulating America than trying to invade America, because it's easy money coming back from all the illegal aliens. That's the number two thing that runs all the money flowing into Mexico, is illegal aliens coming here to work and sending money back. Mexico is not our friend. I will never go to Mexico again. I was there a couple times on cruises. I'll never go there again, ever. That country's not our friend. A lot of great Mexican people. But the country, the government, is not our friend, folks. And I would urge everybody to just say, you know what? That vacation Mexico, I don't think so. The best thing we could have done, we should have kept Mexico in 1848. Think of all the great beaches. We'd have all the oil, everything else. Think of everything we'd have if we'd have just been smart and kept Mexico. Should have kept Cuba, too. See, if we really were the imperialist nation the left pretends we are, we'd be a whole lot better off. So would the rest of the world, frankly. But go to Florida, my native state. Florida's going to propose an Arizona-style immigration enforcement law. Again, I go to Ed Morrissey at Hot Air. He's a good guy, great blog. Florida may follow in Arizona's footsteps to control illegal immigration in its state and may start attracting fire from the Obama administration, because certainly our president's administration has a vested interest in doing everything it can to sabotage our federal immigration laws and sabotage any state that seeks to help in enforcement of our laws. Didn't Obama put his hand on a Bible and take a vow, an oath, to uphold and defend the Constitution? I guess those oaths don't mean a lot, do they? The Florida Senate now has a bill on its agenda that would require law enforcement to check immigration status on lawful contact with suspects and to refer those legally in the U.S. to Immigration and Customs Enforcement. The bill has an excellent chance of becoming law in a state controlled by the GOP. I remember Florida went very red early in last month in November, and could set up a nasty political issue for Barack Obama in 2012. I want to see Florida. I'd love to see Texas do it. I'd love to see New Mexico do it. I'd love to see every state in the union do this. The bill is sponsored by Senate President Pro Tempore Mike Bennett, who's a Republican from Bradenton, Florida. It's the first volley in what's likely to be a long and heated debate over the future of immigration policy in the state. Since the passage of the Arizona law last spring, many Florida Republicans, including Governor-elect Rick Scott, have argued that Florida needs a similar law and campaigned on that issue throughout the summer and into the fall. Now, Bennett's measure would allow law enforcement officers doing a lawful detention or arrest to ask the detainee's immigration documents if the officer suspects they may be in the country illegally. The bill does prohibit law enforcement from using race as a reason for checking the person's documentation. And you know you don't get the typical liberal outrage over this, but really, folks, really, what is, when you get pulled over, stopped by a police officer, what do they ask for? What do they ask you for something? ID, your driver's license. They ask you for identification. And it can be problems if you don't have identification. Why is it that we treat illegal aliens better than we treat our own citizens? Why is it that liberals want to do that? Is it their perverse obsession with their definition of fairness and equality? Is it that they just want so badly the United States to be just welcome the world community? What is it? Whatever it is, they're dead flat wrong. And again, I hope Florida passes this law. I hope it's signed into law. And I hope that more states follow suit. There is no justification for a federal government doing nothing but sitting on its hands when it comes to illegal immigration. That's what they've done for years, for decades now. And we've reaped the results of it. It is a major problem in this country. It is one of the most glaring problems we have. And something does need to be done about it. And by God, if the federal government won't get off its lazy behind and do it, then yeah, the states need to step in and do it. They've got their own interest. And they should step in. They should do something. And again, I just hope this law passes and you know, there will be the usual firestorm of outrage by the left. They're outraged over everything. They have outrageitis, folks. They're only happy when they're outraged. Have you ever noticed that about a lot of people on the left? They're pessimistic, they're just bitter and angry, and they only seem happy when they're pissed off, offended, aggrieved, and angry. Injustice. I've heard several people say that the United States should just open its borders. They shouldn't check documentation. Just come on in, everybody. The whole world should live here. Why is it the left can see the good in America and want everybody to come here, but they don't see the good in America to the extent that they think that, hey, maybe we should export our ideals, our principles, our economic system to the rest of the world and bring them up to our standard or closer to our standard? They seem more intent on doing the Marxist thing, enforcing equality by making everyone equally miserable. It's unfair that we're richer than they are. So instead of helping them get more wealth, you want to tear down the wealthy. It's backwardsness. It's Marxism. That's what it is. Redistribution of wealth. You see it right now in the battle over whether to extend the Bush tax cuts to everyone or just the middle class. Democrats pulled a stunt of doing it only for the middle class. I guess we're going to sock everybody else with a huge tax increase come January 1st. Republicans want to do it for everybody. There's news that you may have a Wall Street catastrophe if these tax cuts are not extended, or tax rates, excuse me, there's no tax cuts here at all. These are tax rates that are locked in. If the capital gains rates, which currently is at 15%, that goes to 20%, you're going to have a major problem on Wall Street. That's just what our weak economy needs, isn't it? Isn't it, folks? We just need more bad economic news. We need more bad news on Wall Street. That will fix everything. Now, it's been suggested Obama's trying to destroy this country. I don't know if that's true or not, but man, if he isn't, he's doing a damn good job acting like it, folks. A darn good job. Now, it's almost Christmas. I am, for personal reasons, not much in a Christmas spirit. But a lot of people love this holiday. And the war on Christmas is coming. I'll get into that a little bit here later. But there's a little bit of Christmas music I want to share with you from Trans-Siberian Orchestra. I think I've referenced them on previous shows. Great rock music and Christmas music combined and fused together. Awesome in concert. You get a chance to go see Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Go see them. I have a song from them I want to play you. And just sit back, enjoy. And I'll be back with the second half of If You're Left, You Just Ain't Right, with even more things of interest to you, my friends. Now, let's get in the spirit a little bit, shall we? Trans-Siberian Orchestra, let me be one of the first to wish you Merry Christmas. Christmas may suck for me this year. for personal reasons I won't get into. But I want you to have a great holiday season. I'm going to enjoy buying my niece, Savannah Grace, her first real Christmas. She'll be 13 months old. So buying her some fun toys and watching her open stuff, that'll be fun. But let's talk about why it is that Obama, who claims to want to revive this economy, get this economy going, is issued a 7-year moratorium on offshore drilling. 7 years, folks. That's going to take us into 2018. Our economy is tanking, and you're going to do something that's going to severely damage it. I mean, think of all the good-paying jobs. All the jobs will be created. Not to mention that the left is always talking about our need to get off our dependence on foreign oil. Listening to the Laura Ingraham show the other night, there is something was stated that I was stunned by. We have so much energy in this country. Offshore drilling, shale oil out in the west, the Alaskan reserves. We have all this energy resources. 97% of it is off limits, folks, because of federal regulations. It's almost as if people in this country, people on the left, are trying their damnedest to slit the throat of this country every day and leave it to bleed out. And they wonder why we question their patriotism. We wonder why we sometimes say they hate America, they loathe America, they despise and detest America. This is why. We look at their actions, and their actions belie any sort of real patriotism or fondness for this country. Out of one side of the mouth, they talk about the need to revive the economy and jobs, jobs, jobs. Yet Obama puts the green agenda before jobs. And we know how specious much of the green agenda is. 7-year moratorium. So to hell with getting off foreign oil, to hell with becoming energy independent, to hell with the economy, to hell with jobs. We've got to be green, man. We've got to be like Kermit the Frog, who would probably be a better president than President Obama is. But again, I go to hot air. Wow, I'm just relying on hot air a lot this week. The Obama administration will reverse its policy on offshore drilling, announced last March, and bar further new drilling in the Gulf of Mexico. But there's worse news. Along the Atlantic coast, barred. And along the Pacific coast, banned. The new ban will last 7 years, and that will deliver a body blow to American exploration and energy independence. But they love America. America, it's got all about the jobs. This is so distressing. It really is, folks. To see what these people are trying to do to this country, be it through their radical agenda, be it through hatred of America, just plain out stupidity, I don't know. The Obama administration won't allow any new drilling in the eastern Gulf of Mexico for at least the next 7 years. And you know, it's because of that BP oil spill. Boy, did he take Rahm Emanuel's advice and didn't let a good crisis go to waste there, did he? Exactly. A senior administration official told the Associated Press last Wednesday this news. The area that includes the waters off Florida's coast had been considered for drilling as part of the management plan for the outer continental shelf. Just a month before the April spill, the Obama administration had announced plans to allow drilling in the eastern Gulf. In light of the BP oil spill, we've learned a lot and understand the need to elevate the safety and environmental standards, said the official, who spoke on the condition of, you guessed it, anonymity, because the decision hadn't been announced yet. We took a second look at the announced plan and modified it to remove the eastern Gulf of Mexico from leasing consideration. It's not going to stop Cuba, Brazil, by the way, or China or anyone else from drilling. It's just us. It's just us that has to kick ourselves in the nuts and cripple ourselves to save the environment. The Washington Post reports that the moratorium will apply to the outer continental shelf and all other states as well. From the Post, Obama administration officials will announce Wednesday afternoon they will not allow offshore drilling during drilling in the eastern Gulf of Mexico or off the Atlantic and Pacific coast as part of the as part of the next 5-year drilling plan, according to sources briefed on the plan, reversing two key policy changes President Obama announced in late March. Let me see. Again, we need jobs. Economy's in bad shape. All these great jobs would be there, well, high-paying jobs. Energy independence, we could move further down the road of that, and we're going to nix it. We're going to nix it because there was an accident. An accident that was worsened because of stupid environmental regulations that we had to, drill for oil in 5,000 deep water instead of close to the shore, where the spill would have been much easier to contain and fix. This is, as Ed Morrissey put it, a body blow to the economy. It's a body blow to anyone with their a common sense to realize that America doesn't need to go down this route. And this is akin to someone who's lost and doesn't have a map, just putting a blindfold on and driving on. And just keep going in the same direction. It is pathetic. I don't even know what to say about this, folks. This is that bad. This devastating. And again, we often hear that, well, that the Democrats just have a different idea. They love America, but you know what? Actions like this don't show love for America. They show a disdain for America, a disdain for the American worker, a disdain for our economy, a disdain for American exceptionalism. We've got all these people bitching about getting off foreign oil, and yet they're the same people not allowing us to get off foreign oil because they over-regulate and restrict 97% of our energy sources. And you wonder why people question the sanity of liberals? That's why. But there's other reasons too. We know the deficit's bad, and Obama has formed a deficit commission to look into how we can save money and reduce the deficit, obviously. Obama doesn't just want to break the backs of America with higher taxes. He wants to also set up, apparently, death panels. Remember in the Obamacare fight, Sarah Palin especially called hell from the media from the left for talking about death panels. Her idea was that, hey, at some point, this is going to come down to money and accessibility, and there's only going to be so much money, only so many resources, and there's going to have to be some sort of panel set up that's going to decide who gets care, what care they get, how long they get care, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, guess what? The Deficit Commission has addressed Obamacare. What did they say about Obamacare? It's interesting. From the Associated Press, they want to keep most of Obamacare in place, but there's bad news for the president and for all of us. They pronounced it unsustainable. Now, who was it that said this beast would never be sustainable? Who was that? That's a damn Tea Partying right-wingers that don't know anything. The ignorant hayseed hicks in the Tea Party, they said it would be unsustainable. And the brilliant constitutional scholar Barack Obama promised it would be. Who's the hayseed hick? Barack. They pronounce it unsustainable unless it includes hard caps on coverage and decisions made to stop care. What's that sound like to you folks? What's that starting to sound like? For the first time, government would set and enforce an overall budget for Medicare, Medicaid, and other federal programs that cover more than 100 million people, from Alzheimer's patients and nursing homes to premature babies and hospital intensive care units. Sarah Palin attracted wide attention by denouncing non-existent death panels in Obama's overhaul. But a fixed budget, as the commissioners propose, could lead to, you ready for the punchline? Denial of payment for medical care in some circumstances. In other words, death panels. Because if your medical condition is severe enough, and someone says, no more money, you're going to have to pay for this or you don't get it, what does that mean? What does that mean, folks? It means, time to check out. Overall, the nation will spend about $2.6 trillion this year on health care. And there's evidence that a significant share of that is for procedures and tests that are of little benefit to patients. There seems to be room enough to cut, but no consensus on what should go. Death panels, that's what eventually we're going to be talking about. We continue down this road, that's where it leads. Now remember, Obamacare stripped resources from Medicare Advantage to fund coverage for the uninsured and those under Medicaid. The Deficit Commission is going to go even further, if they get their way, forcing an end to Medigap plans that help seniors and the disabled pay for better coverage. That would save $38 billion. But that would also force people on limited incomes to do what? To pay a large part of their medical bills out of pocket while living on a fixed income. The choice would make sense if the government hadn't drained their pockets for decades to pay for Medicare and other entitlement programs. So we've taken your money, and now possibly we're going to force you to pay for your own medical care instead of helping with the money we took from you to begin with to pay for your medical care. You wonder why the right wing always mocks liberalism? We always rail against it? This is why. It is madness, folks. It is madness for you. This is why government health care doesn't work. The same reason socialism doesn't work. That's a popular bumper sticker right now. Eventually you run out of other people's money. And what would it be called if a government agency, a czar, a panel, whatever it was making decisions on what kind of care could be given, what kind of care could be paid for, what kind of care could be received, what type of medicines, prescriptions, how long a treatment could last, what type of treatments? Well, when you talk about, let's look at the examples, Alzheimer's patients, advanced cancer patients, people with unhealthy lifestyles, certain age, maybe a premature baby, you get into the government deciding your quality of life, your chances for survival for a long time, and making financial decisions based upon that, and that financial decision will impact the medical care, the amount, the length, and quality that you get. What else would you call that but a death panel? What else would you call it? We told you, those stupid hick Tea Partiers told you. We told you, you didn't listen. Congress didn't listen. They rammed this idiotic bill through. And most of them still don't even know what half is what's in it, because of course they didn't read the bill. Didn't care. It was a power grab. They had their baby they wanted for years, nationalized health care, and they got as close they could to it and jammed it down our throats. And you see the end of the road if we continue. If this Deficit Commission gets its way, and even if not, we're going to come to a point where they'll run out of money and resources, and people are going to be, they're going to be opted out of life by our wonderful government. There's something else about Obamacare you ought to ask yourself. Since it's so wonderful and great and the best thing ever, why is it that so many people are seeking waivers, seeking exemptions, seeking to get out of it? Don't make it apply to me. From Verum Serum blog, there's a headline that caught my eye. Obamacare waivers double, now extended to 1.5 million employees. So why would these 1.5 million Americans not want to be covered by Obamacare, would want to get away from it, run away as fast as they could from Obamacare? Well, we read and we learn this. Last month, it was revealed that 111 companies had received one-year waivers from costly provisions of Obamacare. Costly provisions? I thought Obamacare was going to save us money and save lives and help you to keep the neighbor's kids in their own yard while it's at it. I was curious about how and why, John writes, why companies were receiving the waivers. So I interviewed the owner of Captain Elliot's Party Boats. The owner revealed that his insurance agency recommended applying for the waiver. The bottom line was it was better for us. Yesterday, Health and Human Services updated their site to show that the number of waived organizations has grown. It's doubled. It's now 222. The total number of people excused from this particular requirement of the new law has gone from 1.1 to 1.5 million in 1 month. Expected to grow, by the way. The largest single addition is American Heritage Life Insurance Company, with nearly 70,000 employees. Also, this will tickle your fancy, I'm sure. There are also quite a few union locals on this updated list. Whoa, unions, really? How about the Bricklayers Local? International Brotherhood of Trade Unions Local. Local 1102, Local 338, SoCal Pipe Trades, Teamsters Local 522, UFCW Local 1445, Plumbers and Pipe Fitters Local 630, UFCW Local 1000, SCIU, doesn't that name ring a bell, Greater New York, Laundry and Dry Cleaning Workers Local, Social Security Employees Union Local, and there's more. But to get the gist, if all these locals are eligible, it seems reasonable to assume that many more locals in the same unions would be eligible, doesn't it? So, again, ask the question of your liberal friends, if Obamacare was so great, so wonderful, so life-changing, if it was all of those things in a bag of chips, pickle on the side, folks, why? Are so many people running like hell from it? And why, if it's so wonderful and the government's all into mandates about health care, why are they allowing it? That's right. It wasn't about giving access to health care. It's about more government, more control. And if you play ball, you know, we may grant you some waivers and let you out of Obamacare, which is going to save so many lives. It's pathetic. And again, it's another sign of how much the left loathes what makes this country great. They may say they love the founders and the Constitution, but face it, folks, everything the left does runs counter to that. Everything the left does undercuts this country's founding principles. Everything. The spending, the taxing, the nanny states, the regulation, the government in your life, the intrusion in your lives. Everything the left does is contradictory to the founding principles of this country. That's why elections matter. That's why we've got to stay politically focused, politically sharp, politically active, and make sure that the left is beaten back at every turn. They take it very seriously. We ought to take it that seriously, too. It's your country at stake. Whether it's illegal immigration, whether it's a growing nanny state, whether it's Obamacare, whether it's offshore drilling, whether it's economic regulations on companies that drive companies to outsource jobs and drive companies out of this country to begin with, you understand the United States has the highest corporate tax rate in the world, 35%. Why should any entity, person, company, doesn't matter, pay 35% of their income to the freaking government? You want to explain that to me? It's so politicians can waste money and buy elections. We understand that. But why should that be allowed here? It shouldn't. It shouldn't at all. Now, a quick note to those people who want to, well, just piss on everybody's Christmas parade. Will you shut up and go away? Get a life. Whoever made you important enough, or whoever made your mind up that you were important enough to rain on everybody's parade, if you don't celebrate Christmas, don't celebrate it. If you don't believe in Jesus, fine, don't. If you don't like it, the holiday, fine. But why do you want to take it away from everyone else? We've got schools banning green and red at well, we can't even call it their winter solstice party or winter season parties. Santa Claus is bad. Christmas trees are bad. Jesus is bad. Manger scenes are bad. Why do we give in to these whiners? Why don't local government tell these whiners to shut up and go away? No one understands on the left what the First Amendment says. The First Amendment doesn't say anything except Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Guess what? That manger scene on courthouse lawn, Congress didn't put it there, folks. People ought to understand the First Amendment. It's been bastardized by lawyers and activist judges and liberals. They have no comprehension of what it means. There is no separation of church and state. There's nothing there. Yet these people, I call them the United States of Entitled Americans. They don't like something, nobody should do it. They're not the kind of people to take their ball and go home. They want to take their ball, your ball, everybody's ball, and go home. That's the type of petty, pathetic, whiny people they are. Now, I want to leave you with something upbeat, something hot. I mean hot. Hotter than Selma Hayek in a bikini. Hotter than that, folks. It's the world's hottest chili pepper. There's a new hottest chili pepper. It was the ghost chili. And it was 1 million on the Scoville scale. The Scoville scale measures the amount of water you need to dissipate the effects of the pepper. If you take a jalapeno, which is pretty far down the list, you bite a jalapeno with the seeds, just take a big old chunk of it in your mouth. It's pretty damn hot. There's a new pepper that is over 200 times as hot, and it was created in London by crossbreeding three different really hot peppers, three of the hottest chili pods going. It is 1.359 million on the Scoville scale. Think about that. This stuff's going to be used to make chemical weapons. As far as what do you call it, pepper spray, things like that. It beat the competition from the ferocious Boot Jolokia pod, which is the ghost chili. So incredibly hot, you cannot imagine. And I like spicy food, but good grief. Would you need a chili that hot? I mean, really, as if nature doesn't have hot enough chilies, we've got to engineer hotter chilies. These Frankenstein chilies. It is painful to eat, one man said. It is hot enough to strip paint. Why would you, the hell would you ingest something hot enough to strip paint? It numbs your tongue, then burns all the way down. It can last for an hour. And you don't just want to talk to anyone or do anything. But it's marvelous. It's a marvelous endorphin rush. It makes you feel great. Sure, I don't want to talk to anybody. My throat's on fire. I can't feel my tongue. I feel like I'm choking, sweating to death. But it's all about the endorphins, baby. I tell you, I like spicy food, but let's be serious here, folks. In fact, this pepper is 270 times hotter than a jalapeno. I said more than 200. It's 270 times. And much hotter than the ghost chili. I saw a video of someone eating a ghost chili one time. This guy was in agony for a good part of a day. He was just, and milk doesn't really help. You can drink milk. It helps a lot with peppers, but I tell you what, dangerous stuff, folks. Dangerous stuff. You like spicy food, you might want to grab one of these and be very careful. You have to handle these things with gloves on. That's how hot and dangerous these things are. And if you think it burns like fire going down your throat, imagine how hot that son of a gun's going to be. Well, to put it mildly, on the way out. That's right. That's right. Folks, that's it for this week. Go get yourself a chili pepper. Take a bite. Enjoy the Christmas season. I'll be back next week, next Monday evening. Talk about some more fun stuff for you. I am Doug Hagan. You have been listening here on Chimpsy Radio Network. Again, remember our Facebook page. Remember to come chat with us at chimpsyradio.net. Come talk to us, folks. We love to hear from you. It's a joy doing this show. I appreciate your patronage. Appreciate all the people who listen. And I welcome your feedback, as do all the other hosts here. Please have a good week. Thank you very much for your patronage. Goodbye. God bless. See you next week. Remember, if you're left, you just ain't right. And although we had a pretty rough season, remember, we're young and talented. So in 2011, don't forget, folks, Go Gators. Good night, everybody.